Tomorrow is going to be a huge day. It's Matty Stewart's favourite day of the year. It is the Jericho Cup. Michael Hickmont, there's always a great story that comes out of the Jericho, and if he can win it tomorrow, it would be one of the great stories, because he's got an orphaned horse who is attempting to win the Jericho. Matas, we're going to have a chat to Michael Hickmont, but as we do, let's relive the victory of Ablaze in last year's running.
Ablaze took over at the 400-metre mark for Johnny Allen. He's going well. Two lengths in front. Golden Flag is flying the local flag all right. Then followed by Where Are You? Ablaze the top weight. He's still two lengths in front for Johnny. Trying hard. Golden Flag. It's still going brilliantly, Ablaze. He's a length. Golden Flag is trying, but it's Ablaze for the second ever Jericho. He's done it again, Johnny Allen. What a grand annual, now a Jericho. Ablaze by a length, second Golden Flag.
That was a thrilling victory at last year. A great call by Rick, who'll be back in full voice tomorrow. 4,600 metres, the Hames Paint Jericho Cup, the longest flat race in Australia. And I bet Michael Hickmont's pretty excited just to have a runner there tomorrow as well. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, listeners. Good morning, gents.
Well, unfortunately, you won't be there in person, but it would be a great feather in your training cap if you can pull off a win in the Jericho Cup with Matas.
Yeah, look, it's something that I've been targeting and been thinking about with her for the last 12 months. So it's quite disappointing not to be able to be on course. Obviously, I've ridden the wave with this little girl from the time she was born. Well, she's not a little girl, she's a big giant. But, it'll be disappointing not to be on course. But I'm sure that with our mate Rick calling, he'll get the atmosphere up for us and we'll be able to enjoy it just as much from the lounge room.
Gee, you've got a lot of owners in this mare. Obviously, she's been in great form, but... Wow, you're going to have a lot of eyes concentrating on that race. How many owners are in her?
Oh, look, there's another little story there, to be honest. But I couldn't tell you exactly how many there are, but I wasn't actually ever going to originally sell her. And when I was building my new stables over here in Adelaide, I think it'd be 3.5, 4 years ago now, the company went bankrupt and I lost $160,000. So I had to sell some shares in some of the horses that I'd bred to pay for our wedding.
Well, out of every dark cloud, they say there's a silver lining, and maybe the celebrations with the owner's crew might be part of that with Matas, because she would be a very special horse for you. Tell us the backstory about her, because she was an orphan foal. And for those who don't know, how dangerous is that, and how often do orphan foals actually be able to recover and end up having a career like she has?
I was pretty lucky. She was born at Gary Mudgway's property that he was managing at the time, and Mudge has obviously had a huge history in breeding and spent a lot of time at Cambridge, so he had her under control. So when she was actually born, she was a dummy foal, so she wouldn't suckle or do anything like that. So that was the first hurdle, and then the second hurdle was that Rainfall's, her mother, passed away a couple of days later, so we had to get a foster mare and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So... But it certainly hasn't worried her. Like, this mare is every bit of 600 kilos and she's 17.2. Like, she's a big girl. So that side of things hasn't affected her at all.
Can she win tomorrow? She's coming off a bit of a... What was the story at the Valley last start?
You just got to ride her in a pretty unique way. And I get along super with Michael Rodd. And I watched the race and I knew exactly what happened. And he called me up, and before I'd even had a chance to say hello... putting it in PG-rated terms, he says, I stuffed up, I owe you one. That was a complete disaster. So she's just one of those horses with a huge aerobic capacity that you can't ride pretty, and you've got to ride her super ugly and get going on her. You've got to get going on her and just rode her far too pretty, and she just can't sprint from the 1,000 to the 400. They went 11.5, 11.5, 11.5, and just takes her out of her aerobic zone, and he just sat up on her when she couldn't get around him.
Michael, you're a young guy from a multi-generational racing family. What is it? I mean, and you mentioned before that the thing about the Jericho is the journey begins 12 months earlier, so, because to get a horse to that distance, you got to get going early and plot your way to the race and so on. But what is it about the Jericho that that you're most attracted to? Because there is the backstory of the war and the Anzacs and all that sort of thing. What is it about the Jericho that that impresses you the most?
Oh, I think what Bill Givens has done in bringing this race to light was amazing. And obviously, you know, we're lucky in horse racing. You know, Peter Moody's obviously not a war expert, but you know he's done a lot on it and things like that. So you hear a lot about it. And it's something that my grandfather never really spoke about it much as I was growing up, but something that he encouraged me. He didn't want to speak about his experiences firsthand, but he encouraged me to read about it. Not about this in particular, but just our history, the Australian history in general. And when you start reading about the history that went into it, you know, I'm looking at my bookshelf now, and I've got Les Carline's book up here, The Great War. I've got his book on Gallipoli and things like that. And when you read what these guys went through, I know what we're doing now isn't replicating it by any stretch of the imagination, but the fact that we can honour that in our own small way and have that a part of our industry, I think is an amazing thing. And from my point of view, winning a race like that on Sunday would be every bit as good as winning one of the feature races over the Melbourne Cup Carnival, you know, just because of the history and to have it up on the wall as a trophy, you know.
How long ago did you set that mare for the race? Like, I mean, it's not just a staying race. It's a staying race where they've got to be gladiatorial and beyond fit. So how far back does that plan go, Michael?
Probably the start of last preparation. She won a maiden at Gawler. And even before that, we knew she had a huge aerobic capacity. She won a maiden at Gawler, and I sent her across Victoria for a couple of runs, and Clayton actually rode her one day at Werribee. And similar type of scenario that Michael said, he got off and said, I wish I had ridden her before. I made a mistake. And she won a week later at Geelong. And I brought her back here to South Australia. She was getting to the end of her campaign, but I gave her two or three more runs over a mile and a half against the older horses to really strengthen her up and toughen her up. And then basically from then, I've worked backwards from this date. So every single piece of work she's done, you know, right up till now has been revolved around getting to this race.
And I guess being such a big mare, getting around the sort of the up and around and turning course is another issue. Hey, your stable is absolutely flying. You're one of the three or four stables in Australia at the moment. Everyone's going, wow, this bloke can't train a loser. You've had a few horses come over from New Zealand that have really fleshed out your stable. But just on one today, the ex-Japanese horse, Dan and Roman, I was saying to Falgate earlier when I did my late night quaddy last night, I took Dan on Roman one out because I reckon he's just working towards a massive peak run, and I really hope I'm not wrong. What can you tell us about your confidence with Dan on Roman? I just thought his runs have been terrific this time in.
Yeah, look, first up was a good run. He just got caught wide in a very highly rating Murray Bridge Cup. They broke the track record in that, and you know, my horse ran second and it still broke the track record. How strong a race it was this year. I'll be honest with you, I thought he was disappointing second up. I thought he had a bit of a think about it. Since then, we've identified a couple of little things that may have been holding him back. So I've given him the month between runs into this. You know, his work's been really good. He's trotting up very sound. You know, he'll parade very well today. Look, he's a bit of an interesting character. And I think he's got a few tricks up his sleeve, but I wasn't going to run him until late because I wanted to book Jamie Carr or Craig Williams and I couldn't get either of them. And then all of a sudden Jamie became available right at the last minute. So we accepted and I expect him to run really well.
Oh, I'm glad you said that because the most of the tone of it was going backwards.
Manny's sweating here, Mike.
Oh, come on, Mike, what are you doing? Because you're the most confident trainer I've ever known and you're hard putting the slows on it.
No. Just look, I appreciate what your comments about the stable going well and obviously I've made a pretty big investment over here following on from, you know, Danny O'Brien and Kira Maher. We've bought our own farm. We've got an 800-acre farm here now, which is very close to the new precinct that they've just got the $5 million grant for there at Murray Bridge. From that point of view, I'm seeing the horses really improve and it's allowing me to train them in a way that I like and giving me far more tools. Once again, using the Danny O'Brien, Kieran Maher, Darren Weir type model and to a lesser point, probably what Lloyd was doing with Robert Macedon, you know?
Hey, just on the $5 million grant, this is a bit of a pet project of mine. It sounds as though our wish is going to come true and that Murray Bridge will be granted metro status as the twin track to Morfettville, and hopefully Morfettville Parks will get downgraded a bit. Are we now looking at Murray in the future? Is Murray Bridge going to have metro status?
So, yeah, I would think so. We've got a very progressive board here in South Australia at the moment, headed by Dick Redden. They're a very forward-thinking board, and I based myself at Murray Bridge 6 years ago because of the new facility. And at the moment, the racetrack there, the racing surface is world-class. And I would say within 5 years, there'll be very, very little training at Morfettville in town. And I would say that the main metropolitan tracks should and would be the outer track at Morfettville and Murray Bridge. Morfettville Parks has obviously had a purpose for a long time now, and it's run its course. I think, you know, from the betting turnover, speaking to the people with the analytics behind that, betting's got a far more confidence at Murray Bridge compared to Morfettville Parks. And I know that people such as myself, Tony McAvoy, Philip Stokes, Will Clark, and all would prefer to race it at Murray Bridge than the Parks.
Well, it's certainly very positive news for South Australian racing. We've been going through such a tough time in recent years, Michael, and it's good to see you flying the flag. I hope for Matty's sake and your sake that Danon runs a huge race today, and then we'll all be counting down to the Jericho Cup tomorrow, which would be a fairy tale story if you can get home with Matt Ash. Best of luck over the weekend.
Look, really appreciate the time on air, gents, and for honouring the race.
Good on you, Michael. Michael Hickmont, he is a trainer that has been doing outstandingly well. So let's be honest, Dan, just an assessment for Matt, in all brutal honesty.
I didn't like it.
What do you say about that, I suppose?
The vibometer was bad.
The vibometer of Dan and Roman from Michael Hickmont.
This mightn't sound hygienic, but I put a $5 note in my mouth, a money muncher. But one person that's really good at identifying and money munchers winning is Matt. He's actually got a good record with him. And it's been it might have been a COVID year, but it's been a year for the money munchers. We had the four quaddy legs at Sandown a couple of weeks ago. You know, your horses like Odeon and Sosie Bond, whom we'd all love to have shares in because of the prize money that they've won. And Danon Roman, he's a bit of an August Rodin. He's the thinker. He's a chance, but obviously he's a pretty tricky horse. Matty, I'm going to throw him into my quaddy now because Matty's got this incredible knack of getting those sorts of horses, talking about them and them getting up. Probably run second, beating the lip, but still it'll run well.
Hickmont was right about the second up run, but he did put that gap between his runs. You have a look at his run in the Murray Bridge Cup. If he replicates that, he'll win this race.
And he's got more ability than probably any other horse in a race. It's a matter of whether he actually wants to show it.
Yeah, I tend to think that it's just... I don't really believe in money munchers that much.
Do you know